Amen. All right, the sermon for this evening is probably not going to take very long to get through all the content. It's probably going to be a shorter sermon. I know usually when I make statements like that from the very beginning, it ends up being a lot longer than I expect. So we'll see where this goes. But it's a very simple concept, and there's just kind of one real main point that I want to get across. But we started off in James chapter 3. And this is an extremely important truth, and it's one that we need to be reminded of, I think, on a regular basis. This is a type of sermon that you kind of feel like you could preach almost every week because it's an area that is so easy to have problems with. And, you know, chapter 3 here talks about our tongue and the things that we say, and this is an area that all of us are guilty to one extent or another of saying things that we probably shouldn't say from time to time and for various reasons and stuff. I'm going to focus in. I'm not going to do a real broad sermon, so I'm not going to take very long. There are so many areas in which we can be saying things where we ought not, tale-bearing and, you know, telling lies. And so this is a really, really big topic. So instead of doing a really broad one, I'm going to narrow the focus down into one area. But before I even get started into all that, let's kind of dig into this chapter and just get some great truth from God's word when it just comes to our tongue and the strong language being used to describe a tongue here in James chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. The Bible reads, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." So before I even go any further, the Bible is saying, in many things we offend all. In many things. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And I don't know a perfect man. That's why there's always things that we say that's going to be offensive to some. It's going to offend some. It's going to bother people. We are not perfect. But it says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. But, the point that I want to drive home with this, though, is that, yes, while we're not perfect, we need to be able to control our mouth, because by being able to control your mouth, it actually, you can exert control over the rest of your body and kind of control the whole direction, you know, even of your life. And this is what, you think about, your mouth can get you into much bigger problems, right? That's going to have a big impact on your whole life, as opposed to, you know, just, and it's all comes from one small member. So this is the concept that's being brought forward here when he says, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. So with a horse, they put a bit, I mean, it's literally just this small shank or whatever that goes like in their mouth, and you're able to tug one way or the other, and that just forces your horse, you know, it forces you to have control over your horse to make him turn left, make him turn right. And a horse is a pretty big beast, a big animal. I don't know if you've ever been horseback. I've been horseback riding before. It's a big animal that could be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, because, you know, if they're not tamed, if they don't know you well enough, they could throw you off, they could trample you, people get seriously hurt, you could even literally die. So, you know, obviously being in control of the animal is very important, and it's done with a really small instrument, really small thing overall to kind of gain the control. And then it brings up a ship here in verse number 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds." So think about the power behind the winds. And you got these great big ships that have these huge sails. And there's a lot of force and power behind these boats, right? And it says, "Yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So the person operating the ship is you think about like the rudder in comparison to the entire, you know, size of the ship. It's a really small peace on the boat that's allowing you to cause the whole, you know, steer the whole direction of this massive vessel. And it's this small thing that has so much power, even though it's little. So it takes these two examples, and then it says in verse 5, even so, in the same manner, the tongue is a little member. It's a really small part of our body, right? You've got big arms, legs, head, and your tongue is a small member. It says, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And just as in order for, you know, when you see these great forest fires and wildfires and stuff, they all start from just a small flame, a small spark. It doesn't take much to just let things get out of control. And all of these illustrations are being used to help us realize the truth of what our tongues are capable of doing. Just throwing out some words. You know, our words all are powerful. They have a lot of power. That's why we're facing a lot of censorship, because God's word has power, right? And literally just the words, just speaking God's word has power. We know that God's word is not going to return void. There is power to God's word. So you have people trying to suppress that, but it's not just God's words that have power. Even your words have power too. You have power to build up and edify, and you also have power to destroy. And destruction can be great. And usually it's easier to do a lot of damage with just a little words, whereas building people up and doing, you know, usually it's harder and takes more effort to build things up than it is to destroy. And it's the same thing with our mouth. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So very vivid language being used here, all to drive home the severity and the seriousness that we need to take when we speak. Obviously, it's not talking about your physical tongue, the little flesh, you know. It's referring to the words that you use and how we speak and the things that we say. You know, this is tied in so closely to just who we are. Anyways, what you speak, what you say. You know, even just going down to being a man or being a person of your word. When you say something, does it come to pass? That's one of the great things about God, is that everything that the Lord says comes to pass. That he has no deceit, no falsehood, no darkness. Everything that the Lord says is true, it's right, it's going to happen. There is no doubt. We have assurance. We ought to try to live in a way that would mimic or mirror God's example and try to be as good as we can so that we can be known as people of our word as well, and only say those things that are right and good and true and just and holy. Now, we fall short of that, and we fall miserably short of that, but it doesn't mean we give up and don't try. So we're going to try to focus in on some areas here this evening to help you to focus and be mindful of the things that you say, in case you have allowed yourself to speak in a way that a Christian ought not to be speaking. We'll finish up here in James 3, verse number 7, basically says, it says here, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. So all different types of animals, beasts, we're able to get those beasts under control. I mean, we have zoos full of all these animals, and we kind of tame them. You could cage them and whatever. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Those are strong words, right? That's just shows you the seriousness and how easy and how volatile your tongue can be. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And it goes on and on, basically saying, you know, we could use our mouth for some really great things, but then at the same time, we use our mouth for some pretty wicked things and for some pretty bad things. And that ought not to be. We ought to be just using our mouths for good things. Now, turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 4, because this is where I'm going to spend the majority of the time. It is, James 3 really sets the stage for how important and how much power our tongues have, the things that we say. And as I mentioned before, you know, there's a lot of areas we could focus in on. But one of the parallel passages for the book of Ephesians is the book of Colossians. They're very similar. Those two epistles are very similar. It's kind of a lot of the same things being taught to those churches. In Colossians 3:8, the Bible reads, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Filthy communication out of your mouth. This is an epistle written to a church full of believers. And he's saying, you know what? Put off all these. Put off your anger. Put off your wrath. Put off your malice. Put off your blasphemy. Put off the filthy communication out of your mouth. And this is something that we need to, the way it's stated in Ephesians, you're in chapter 4, look at verse number 29. The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." There's a lot of things that go on in the world, but you know what? There's some things that we really ought not to be talking about, and there's definitely a lot of areas we shouldn't be mimicking the world and repeating things and saying things that are just filthy. Let's keep reading here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. The Bible has a lot of scripture that talks about this too. So we're focusing on the corrupt communication or filthy communication this evening, but it's actually brought up a lot of times in scripture. This isn't just a one-off. Now, obviously, one time is enough anyways in the Word of God to take heed and make some applications in our life. But this comes up repetitively in God's word, and we need to take stock and take heed to ourselves. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians 5. The Bible reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So here he's just saying, you know, if you're going to be a saint, you're sanctified, you're a believer, you're a child of God, these things ought not, you ought not to be labeled or named as one of these things. You ought not to be a fornicator, involved at all in cleanness, or involved in covetousness. You know, these things, you know, God forbid that they should be applied to you, right? Because you are supposed to be living to a higher standard. Right, this is where we're starting off here in Ephesians chapter 5. But then he continues on in verse number 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And now it brings up filthiness again, but then it says foolish talking. Right, now here's something we do with our mouth. Foolish talking. What would be an example of foolish talk? Well, foolish is something that fools would do, right? Anything that's becoming of a fool, a conversation a fool would have is foolish talking. That's not something that we ought to be participating in. And there's a lot of vain, stupid things in this world. I'm not saying that every single possible thing that's vain is just considered necessarily foolish talking. But it also brings up jesting here, foolish talking and jesting. And one of the things that I've noticed, and this was harder for me to break when I was getting right with God especially, is all of the joking around and saying things, you know, kind of making a mockery or a joke of sin and saying things like, you know, because it's something that you know, again, I'm guilty of. I used to do things like this just when I was living really worldly, because it's something that the world does. The first thing that comes to mind is you know, making jokes about, like, sodomites, where you're like pretending to be a homo, you're pretending to be like that, and just, oh, ha, ha. Look, I've been there and done it. I used to laugh at it. I used to think it was funny. But you know what? I think according to Scripture, that would be foolish talking and jesting. And when you make a mock at sin, that's a foolish thing to do, because, you know, sin is actually serious. And I'm not saying you could never have fun or have humor. Humor is not a sin, but we need to be careful what type of humor we are allowing ourselves to participate in, whether speaking or hearing. You know, when someone's involved with filthy communication or filthiness, we ought to be able to separate ourselves and say, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this. And, you know, unfortunately, it's going to make some people uncomfortable, but this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Don't just blow it off as being nothing. There's a reason why the Scripture mentions here foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, because we need to pay attention to things that we say, and the things that come out of our mouth are going to identify part of who we are. And you don't want to just be mimicking the world in the way that the world jokes, the way that the world communicates. We ought to be set apart and different. And the chapter continues here, verse 5, it says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So it goes on to bring up the severity, you know, these sins, saying, hey, you know that no whoremonger, an unclean person, hath any inheritance of the kingdom of God. So why are we going to be just foolishly talking about them and making these jokes and all this other stuff? You know, I, another thing, not just the homo thing, but like when it comes to things like alcohol, right? I used to joke with people like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy a case of beer. So say something that's just kind of like, you know, it's just joking around because, you know, it's something that you would never do, but then you're just bringing it up. But we ought not to have that type of an attitude against sin. And it really is a foolish thing to say, to even just throw that thought out there, even if you are just joking. Those are, you know, certain things that we ought not to be joking about. And serious sins, you know, whoremongering, things like that, we ought not just be joking about those things, because they are grave, they are serious. The homosexuality, that's how they got their foot in the door to begin with. It was through the jesting and the joking in the media and making you laugh and think, oh yeah, ha ha, it's just real funny, and just kind of just making a mockery or making fun of these guys and have these real flamboyant characters and got everybody laughing, because then that becomes actually more acceptable than when you're getting entertainment from this, instead of having the righteous attitude when things are an abomination to hate those things. We don't want to be being entertained and laughing at sin, things that are abominable. You want to be hating those things, to where you don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to hear those jokes. I don't want to participate in that kind of communication. I hate that stuff. I don't want that to cleave to me. I don't want that to influence my mind even a little bit. And I'm not going to joke about that stuff. And like I said, I've been guilty of this, so I'm not just coming at you like, oh, I'm perfect and I've never said and done anything wrong. But these are things that you ought to work on getting over and getting past and getting out of your you know, vocabulary, and stop using those types of jokes and making a mockery at sin. It's not a good thing to do. Let's continue on here in Ephesians 5, verse 6. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." These things bring wrath. Let's not joke about them. Verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Reprove them is tell them they're wrong. Look, don't be buddy-buddy and having these communications with people, you know, with the unfruitful works of darkness. And you know what? Here, the first thing that comes to my mind with this is how about when you're on the job? How about when you're out in the world? Because let's face it, we're out in the world sometimes. We're not of the world, but we do have to exist in this world. You have a job to do. You go to a grocery store. You might find yourself among other peers, among coworkers, and things like that, where you might have a group of people involved in these types of filthy communication and conversations that are not good, not upright, not holy, things that just you ought not to even be listening to, let alone speaking. And to socially be accepted, the pressure is going to be on you to just fit in and join in all of their foolish jesting. Right? That's where the pressure is going to come from, because you don't want to be different from them. You don't want people looking at you and going, oh man, that guy's weird. That's in your flesh that wants you to fit in like that. Okay? But you got to decide, do you care more about what other people think about you, or do you care about what God thinks about you? Are you being a good ambassador for Jesus Christ, your Savior, who died on the cross for you, when you speak to people? Is it going to be in a manner that's upright? Or are you going to join in a filthy conversation to where, if Jesus Christ were standing right there, would just be utterly ashamed of you as a representative of his, because you're joining in filthy communication? These are things that we need to remind ourselves of and be concerned with and thinking about, because it's easy to just go along. It's easy to just continue with that stuff and with that nonsense. And especially if you've had a habit of that in the past, of breaking that habit. Because we have a tendency to say the same things. We fall into patterns and habits, and things that you say are easily repeated. But and look at verse number 11 again, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Look at verse number 12. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The things that wicked people are doing in secret, it's a shame even to speak about those things. You know, God brings up in the scripture some pretty bad things as far as evil things, as far as wickedness. But even in scripture, there's a line drawn of graphicness that is not gone into in scripture. There are euphemisms that are used to not get too graphic. Why? Because it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You don't need to get into details. You don't need to get graphic on things that you've seen or things that other people are doing and stuff. And if people start having this graphic, filthy conversations, and look, it happens even amongst Christians. And these days, it's not just even your words, because social media is so prevalent, and because you have this opportunity to type things out, but you also see images and stuff too. I'm sick and tired, and thankfully, like, I don't get on social media very much anymore at all. It's rare. Like, I get on and kind of check some things, and I'll check a few things, and then I'm done. I don't spend much time on it at all. It's kind of a big time waster for me. But I remember a while back, and I haven't seen this at all recently, but people would like be trying to expose the sodomite agenda and expose this stuff. But then the things that they're posting just have these images of like two dudes kissing, or like, just some filthy images and filthy stories. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want that to be corrupting my mind. I want my mind to be holy and pure. I don't even want to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. So we could speak about them in a general term, right? We don't need to get into the details about it. And let's definitely not be joking about it and taking it any steps further. It's a shame. You ought to be ashamed to speak about those things. Verse 13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We're supposed to walk as children of light, and light shines the truth of these things exposes the truth about these things. So instead of normalizing through our communication, wickedness. If you're speaking with light, you're exposing it for being abominable. You're exposing it for being wicked instead of downplaying the severity of it. In this passage, we already saw the severities was brought up with the whoremongering stuff, saying, look, that those which do such things, they have no, what was it? They have no, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of church, in the kingdom of Christ and of God, right? They have no inheritance. The people that do these things, you know, they're damned. So let's not make light of them, but if we're going to bring the light, they need to be reproved. That is the whole context in which we should be talking about these things, is in reproof, is in, you know, putting these things down for what they are, and not acceptance, not tolerance, not normalizing, not making light of. That would be the appropriate way that we ought to be communicating and speaking. And, you know, on top of that, if this is an area where you find yourself in, even, you know, if you're able to bridle your own tongue, right, that's good. That's where you ought to be, is to be able to filter yourself so that when you have foolish thoughts come in your mind of saying something dumb, you can at least filter yourself and not say those things, not let them be uttered out of your mouth. But the next step to take, though, is to try to train yourself and condition yourself to not have those foolish thoughts even come up to begin with. The reason why you're speaking those things is because they're coming out of your heart. And you have to be worried if the things that is coming out of your mouth is filthy communication, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you're speaking about filthy things, where is your heart? I'll tell you where it's not. The Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 33, this is Jesus Christ speaking here. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Just drawing more gravity to your words, obviously, is extremely important. But also take stock of yourself. I'm not saying that you're a reprobate if you get caught up in the patterns of the world and speaking about things you ought not to be speaking of. But check your heart. Why are you thinking about those things? Why are you saying those things? You know, maybe there's something deeper going on in your heart that you need to get the right love of Christ and get some sin out of your own life so that it's not coming up in your mind. Another thing to when it comes to our communication, turn if you would to Acts chapter 20. Is to just be considerate of other people, especially in church, other believers, right? The Bible teaches in Romans 14, it talks about, you know, people who eat, that don't eat meat. And it also talks about people who have, give regard to one day over another, right? And in both cases, basically what it's saying, it tells us what's right, you know, that you can eat meat, it's just fine. But what's being taught, the synopsis is, you know, we still ought to be considerate of brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we shouldn't be doing things that's going to be offensive to them, especially when it's not like that big of a deal to you personally to either do something or not do something, that you can show grace to help the person out who's weak, to help the person who doesn't have as solid of a standing and understanding of Scripture, by being able to say, okay, yeah, no, it's not that big of a deal. If this is going to offend you, then I'm not going to do it. Even though I know I can, I know it's fine, I'm just going to withhold because I care about you and I want to help you learn and grow. Along that same strain or that same vein, you know, think about when you speak to things, how about you show some consideration for other believers in Christ, and that, you know, you may think there's no problem saying certain things, but maybe they do have a problem with that. Now, where I'm going with this is the use of certain words that culturally are deemed to be swear words, right? And words that aren't used in polite conversation. Now, you can have biblical words that the words themselves, there is no problem with the word, okay? But how we use our words, we ought to take that carefully as well. I don't think we should be flippant in the usage of our language and just start throwing words around. You know, I'm thinking, you know, words like hell and ass and, you know, bastard and what, you know, those words that in our culture, it's just deemed to be bad words. Okay? Obviously, there's no problem using them in the right context, but when you start getting out of the context, you know, we ought to still be considerate to other people, and that even if you're fully justified in using those words however you want to use them, I would refer back to Romans 14 to use some discretion and say, well, do I really have to say these words? Now, obviously, there's points in time where you're going to use language to really drive a point home. So when we preach against sodomites, there are words I'm going to use specifically to drive home a point and really use strong language that may make people uncomfortable, but it's done on purpose to illustrate the gravity of, man, this really is a wicked sin. This is really important. This really needs to be, you know, thundered out and brought down because it's so wicked and abominable that we're going to use descriptive words and words that might be offensive to some to just illustrate this is really bad. Apart from using your language for those purposes in day-to-day speak, I don't think it's right, especially when you have a lot of people who you know, don't think that there's certain words to be used. I think it's best, I think we shouldn't just be using them in regular language, especially the words that just don't make sense. Just in the context, there's a lot of words, there's a lot of idioms, there's a lot of things that people say that just, if you just break it down, like, well, what does that even mean, right? It doesn't make sense. There's things that people say. And I don't think it's right to just be picking up these things. And look, am I guilty of this? Yes, I've done this before, but I'm trying to make, you know, to change this. And I think that everybody ought to be considerate of these things because, yes, while all things may be lawful unto you, all things don't edify. Right? The concern and the thought is on other people. What other people are going to hear? What other people are going to think? And you know, again, you don't live your life to please man, but at the same time, you want to help people. You don't need to be pushing them away for, you know, for no reason. Basically just because, well, I could say this and it's fine. We don't need to have that attitude. I don't think it's the right attitude to have. I think this also goes with joking about things that are offensive to others too. You know, keep that in mind. Acts chapter 20 is where I had you turn. And I just want to point out one more thing here. It brings up these false prophets here. Verse 29, the Bible reads in Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So it's talking about false prophets that are come in to destroy. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Apostle Paul is warning over and over and over again about these false prophets, about people who are going to try to deceive and lead away. But one of the attributes of them is that they speak perverse things. Let's not be in company with the false prophets that speak perverse things. That ought not to be you. You know, perverse is crooked. It's not straight. It's not right. It's perverted, right? That ought not to be coming out of the mouth of a Christian. Turn, if you would, to in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. I'll quote this for you. I'll read this for you. Bible reads, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." What we speak, this ties back with James 3. You know, evil communications corrupt good manners. It's going to impact the way you act, your manners, how you operate, how you live. The evil communication is going to corrupt your good manners. It's going to start with your mouth, and it's going to filter out to the rest of the way that you live and operate. The more you speak about things, the more likely you're going to be then to go down that path. The Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And this goes back more to, you know, again, to the Romans 14 type of argument, where even if something isn't inherently evil, we don't even want to look like it's evil. We don't want to have a communication that's just, even if the word specifically just, you know, is, it's not evil, but you're giving off this appearance of evil. We ought to abstain from that. You know, be careful with your words. One, you're going to have a lot of people on you. You're going to have a target on your back from the world. You're going to have a target on your back from Satan and people that hate God. But two, you're going to have, you know, other people looking up to you maybe as an example. And whatever sins you have, when people look up to you, especially your children, they look up to you and they're going to see, you know, oh, well, it's okay for this person to do, it's okay for dad to do, it's okay for mom to do this, I'm going to do the same thing. We don't even want to have the appearance of evil. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 6. The Bible reads, "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded." You know, the young men, especially, need to hear this type of preaching to be sober-minded, because it's an attribute that's common among youth to be very lighthearted and kind of get involved in the jesting and the joking that goes above and beyond just what you would have with normal humor, and kind of not taking things as seriously as you ought to take things. And again, I just want to be clear, you know, I'm not saying you just always have to be stiff and never have any humor and never make any jokes. But we need to have a proper balance and not be out of balance and out of bounds on where we're deriving humor from. And if we're just someone who's always just making a joke about things, you know, people need to be able to take you seriously first and foremost. Then you could have the sense of humor. Don't be known as a guy that's just always joking about everything. You're going to be viewed as a fool overall. No one ultimately is going to want to take you seriously, even when you have something serious to say, if you're just known for always joking. Okay, have a sense of humor. You can make people smile. It's a good thing to do, but just don't have that be, you know, kind of determinative of who you are. And the young men are exhorted here in this passage to be sober-minded, be serious. Be serious about some things. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You're supposed to lead by example, young men. Be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. You know the Bible. You know the scripture. Your doctrine is good. It's pure. You don't have a bunch of false doctrine. Gravity, again, that's seriousness. Sincerity, you actually mean it. Look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. And it's not the rest of my notes, but I think that's the rest of the verse. Somehow it got deleted. Having no evil thing to say of thee or speak of thee? Is that the rest of that verse? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm quoting it right. It's important to have the sound speech, solid speech. that people can't just go and condemn you. It's like, oh, well, here you are saying this and saying that and jesting and joking, doing this. You know, you'll be condemned for that. People could use the Bible and use the verses that I'm preaching out of tonight. You don't want to be condemned. Now, look, we know we're not perfect, but let's do our best to get ourselves in line. Because we want to be a messenger of the Word of God, that people aren't going to be able to attack the message because of the messenger, right? We don't want to get the focus off of the message and onto us because we have all these problems and they're just going to, you know, point that out there to try to destroy the message based on who's giving the message. If we are upright and that the person on the contrary part, right, someone who wants to attack our beliefs and attack the Word of God and attack those things, let's not give them an opportunity to just bring us down. Let's live upright in integrity and sincerity so that if they're going to say anything, they're going to have to attack the message and not the messenger, because you are being true to what this says. And if they can't find that, just like Daniel is a perfect example of this. You know, Daniel held a position of power. There were people who coveted his position. There's people who wanted his position. There's people that hated him. He stood on the Word of God. He was doing everything right. They could not find any fault in him. Even though they hated him, they couldn't. So they had to make stuff up against him. That's the way that you ought to be. You ought not to have these faults, these gross errors and faults in your character to where it's real easy for someone to come along and just tear you down. That's the way you're going to be the most effective as a worker for the Lord. And it's a process. This isn't something that happens overnight. You need to work at it. You need to strive to do better and better and better and continually live more and more righteously so that there's less and less things that anyone who's looking at you is going to be able to use against you. And besides that aspect, I mean, you want to be right with God anyways, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's a big priority. There's a lot of motivations to do what's right. And one of them is to be a good worker, be someone whose people are going to be able to listen to, and they won't have anything bad to say against you because you're not doing wicked things. Proverbs chapter 8, we'll close with Proverbs chapter 8. So you want to be in the position where the people who are contrary to you, they're going to be ashamed of themselves because they're trying to find some dirt on you and they can't find anything. Saying, oh, well, you're saying people shouldn't say this, but you're over here saying that. Don't have that. You're saying this is such a big deal and they ought to be put to death, but here you are just making a big joke about it. Don't have that. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 5. Bible reads, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. This is going to instruct us on how we ought to be speaking, right? These are the things that we need to be focused on as what comes out of our mouth. When we're putting a filter on our lips before we speak, are we speaking excellent things? Are we speaking right things? Verse number 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Is wickedness an abomination to your lips? Think about that. Let that sink in. Wicked. I mean, we ought not to be going in depth and going into all the depths of wickedness just in our conversations and stuff. There's no reason to go there. It ought to be an abomination. Verse number 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. This is how we ought to be comparing what we're saying if whether it's right or wrong, whether what we're saying and speaking and how we're speaking is right. Are the words of your mouth in righteousness? Is there nothing froward or perverse in your language, in your communication? Great, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Are you speaking truth? Again, and you know, this is an area you could get into all different aspects of sins and things that we shouldn't be speaking, which is why James 3 really uses that type of language, because there's so many areas which this can impact. I'm only just dealing with one area. And let's boil it all down to, you know, are you a child of light? Are you a son of God? Are you an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Act that way. Speak that way. Don't be someone who's going to be embarrassed or ashamed if Jesus Christ were to overhear what you're talking about. Think about that. Okay, don't be someone who's just going to be ashamed if someone was to overhear a conversation ever. You ought to be able to speak things that are upright and good and pure, and do so in a way that lines up with how the scripture deals with it. Obviously, there's wicked things, there's bad things in the world that happen, and you know, there's a need to communicate some of these things, but do it in a way that's brought forward, that God gives us examples of in scripture. We don't need to go further in depth and detail than that. Let's try to keep pure minds, pure communication, and just be on the lookout for the corrupt or filthy communication and language. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for giving us all the wisdom and instruction that's found in your word. God, I pray that you please help us to overcome bad habits, help us to get our minds right, focused on right things, good things, pure things from your word, dear Lord. And I pray that you would help us to just be upright in our conversation, in our communication, dear Lord, and in our thoughts, and help us to be able to overcome this flesh, and that we would be very good ambassadors for you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Do we have one more song picked out for the evening or no?